of you, over this past week, I have amended my evening routine, as it were, to include watching the Olympics. I really enjoy this. I've played a lot of sports myself, and you don't have to have played sports really to enjoy the Olympics. In fact, it's always kind of interesting. In the Olympics, we once every 4 years watch things we would never ever watch, like badminton and squash and things like table tennis and all kinds of interesting things that all of a sudden you get glued to because, oh, there's a gold medal at stake in badminton, so I need to check that out. I think to some extent, when we see these great Olympians doing all these amazing things, I think it shows us maybe just a little bit about, wow, that's what the human body is really capable of doing. These are the people that are the best of the best in the physical side of human perfection. And I love it because they come out and I watch these gymnasts and they're like, well, Jim, she's going to attempt a 3.5 back somersault flip with an inverted twist and she's going to make sure her toes are pointed. And then they do all that flipping through the air and then they land and they just stand there and like, I did it. And they throw their little hands up and it's like, of course I flipped around and I landed and I'm right on my feet because that's what I do. And I'm just like, that is amazing. I mean, I couldn't do that in a million years if I tried. And maybe that is part of what kind of captivates us, because we're like, wow, look at them. That's amazing. I don't know that really any of us will probably be Olympians, you know, anytime soon. Although I did find maybe a sport where I could have a shot. I'm thinking Tokyo, I could compete in air rifle. Just saying, I'm a pretty good shot. It doesn't seem that it requires incredible physical ability. There's lots of breathing, timing, and everything like that. I can work on it. But that would be my only shot, I think, to be an Olympian. Or maybe curling or something in the Winter Olympics. We'll have to see. But most of us probably look at the Olympians and say, we wouldn't even think that that would be us. Now, it's great because we see the kids. And literally, you see those pictures of Katie Ledecky, who's with Michael Phelps when she was only 9 years old. And like, yeah, she thought she could do it. And now she's the greatest in the world. So the good thing there is that we can look at them and say, that's amazing. They are at the top of the top. But I think for a lot of us, it ends there. Most of us are not aspiring Olympians. And yet, our scripture readings today, particularly from the book of Hebrews, likes to focus our attention on these athletic competitions. Now, we don't know exactly who wrote the letter to the Hebrews. We used to think it was St. Paul. Now we're not so sure. So it's just the letter to the Hebrews. But we think it was probably written by somebody in the Pauline community, somebody who knew St. Paul, or at least his teaching. And today, we see that the writer urges us to be rid of every burden of sin that clings to us and to persevere in running the race that lies before us while keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus. I love that image of running the race. We know these Olympians have to do all kinds of things to train to be able to do what they do, to run a race or do gymnastics or swimming or whatever it is. Well, the letter to the Hebrews is telling us that we're athletes too, running a spiritual race. If you think about all the things that these athletes do to get ready to compete, I mean, they're getting up, some of them at 4 a.m. in the morning to go to the swimming pool and work out or go to the gym. And then some of them go to school and they're full-time students. And then they come back and they're back in the pool or the gym. And it's amazing to look at the dedication that it takes. And maybe that's part of the reason why we like it so much. When they do like these little human interest stories, where it's not just the fact that they won a gold medal, but let's sit down with them one-on-one and talk with them and find out what makes them go. And you see just this incredible drive to be the best. Think about that. They want to be the best. They are driven. And, you know, think about what it is that they're driving after. Well, it's a gold medal. I mean, that's a huge goal. But I think also a desire just to be the best they can be. In a very beautiful way, I think these athletes realize how much talent they've been given. And a lot of them rightly give credit to God to say, I thank God for my talent. I think they almost feel a responsibility to be the best they can be because they can. Because they recognize that God will help them do that and has given them a unique talent. So they put in the work, the effort, incredible sacrifices that they make to win a gold medal. Well, as great as a gold medal is, that is just an earthly piece of metal that you can't take it to heaven with you. Rather, the letter to the Hebrews encourages us also to have a goal. Not a gold medal, but says keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, our leader and perfecter of faith. We've got to be so focused on our goal to be in heaven forever with Jesus that we would be just as dedicated as an Olympic athlete to getting a gold medal. That we would make at least the same amount of sacrifice and effort and discipline that it would take to win a gold medal. Why don't we do this? I mean, I look, and one of the saddest things I think sometimes is just Christians don't even think that to be in heaven, to win the prize of eternal life is worth it even. Or worse, we think somehow it's just going to happen. You know, no one wins a gold medal because someone says, oh, you did a good job. Here's a gold medal. You tried. It doesn't work that way. There are no participation trophies in the Olympics. It's not like this T-ball trophy I got. You know, I played T-ball, like, here you go, here's a trophy. Good for you. You participated. Like, we lost every game. Well, you participated. There's a trophy. That's it. The Olympics is not like that. Christian life is not like that. There's no participation trophy for the Catholic life where I just, hey, I ran out the clock. I survived. I was basically a good person. No basically good athlete gets a gold medal at the Olympics. Now, I am not saying that the entire goal of our salvation is up to our own effort. Certainly not. These Olympians, a lot of it is their effort. It's not like that in the Christian life. We have our part to do, but the good news is the hard part, the real heavy lifting of our salvation has been done. Jesus Christ has already died, paid the debt for our sins, and all of us, if we will just go along, will be able to be victorious. But we have to do our part. No one is going to give us the gift of eternal life just because we made it through life and ran out the clock. Rather, we too have to have a kind of spiritual training regimen that we go through. We have a prize much greater than a gold medal. We have to be able to work at least as hard as an Olympic athlete. So what about our training program then? Well, just like any athlete would be able to show you their daily schedule and what they do, well, we need some kind of a program. So here's a little spiritual coaching for today. What might be our training program? Well, I like to break it down for myself into what I'm going to do each day, what I'm going to do each week, what I'm going to do monthly, and what are my yearly kind of spiritual goals. So we just start with the very basic, the core of every athlete, it's their daily schedule. Well, for us as spiritual athletes, I think the most important thing that we have to do every day is we've got to spend time, maybe it's just 15 minutes, in prayer with God. And I don't necessarily mean that I take out my prayer book or my rosary and I say set prayers. Those are good. But we need time just to talk with God, listen to what he says back to us, and just be in his presence like with any friend. Tell him what's on your mind. Tell him what's going right, what's going wrong, and then listen. See what he has to say. That's got to be some part of our day, every day. Don't let a day go by where you don't spend some time talking with God. So daily goals. Then for each week, good news is the church is very smart. She's already given us the goal of each week. And that is, at a minimum, we've got to come to Mass every Sunday or Saturday evening. The church still, as it's always taught, says it is a mortal sin to knowingly and freely skip Mass on Sunday. So that's our bookend of the week. Every week we get a little test. Do we love God the most, or will we put something else in God's place? Whatever that might be. Imagine if an athlete started eating junk food and didn't eat the right stuff. Oh, pretty soon they would not be strong enough to compete. And it's the same with us. If we don't come weekly to the Eucharist to receive the spiritual nourishment that we need, our souls will never be able to compete. So weekly attendance at Mass, no matter what. Not if, don't say it, well, you know, it's summer. We don't go to Mass as often in the summer. What if an athlete did that? They would not be an Olympic athlete very long if they just blew off their training for large periods of time and said, well, I'm taking a break. It's not how you become great. And we won't be great either if we just blow off Mass. So weekly. But monthly, I like to tell people that about monthly, or maybe at most every other month, we need to get to confession. It's what the letter to the Hebrews is talking about. Rid ourselves of every burden of sin that clings to us. We will never make progress in the spiritual life if we're continued to be weak and weighed down with illness, which is sin. Now, if we have serious sin, don't wait a month. If you've committed a serious sin, call me at 3 a.m. and say, "Father, I committed a serious sin. I need to go to confession." I would be glad to hear your confession. Get to confession right away. But at least once a month for those venial sins, they're not serious, Father. Well, they're either going to become serious or they're going to weigh you down. So every Saturday, I'm sitting over here, normally all by myself with no one to visit me, on Saturday afternoons from 3:30 to 4:30 before Mass. You can come. It would be nice if there's like a whole line outside my confessional. This is kind of like the trainer. You know, if an athlete like never went to see their trainer or their coach and just did their own thing, well, you can be pretty good on natural ability, but all of a sudden you get a coach, and a coach is able to say, hey, your right hand is flying open when you're doing that. Keep it in. And all of a sudden, boom, a coach is able to leap you forward in a way you couldn't done on your own. Confession can be a little bit like that. That's when you go to Jesus, dump all the sickness and weight, get healthy again, and I'll have a little bit of coaching to say, okay, yeah, you might work on this or that. Confession is not a lecture. It's certainly not judgment. You're going to come in. It's quick. It's 2 to 3 minutes. I did this, 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 and this. And in the name of the church, Father's going to forgive you, give you spiritual medicine, and then send you on your way to keep training. So monthly confession, or at least every other month. Finally, our yearly spiritual goal. And this is really kind of particular to you. So my family, we often went on a family vacation every summer and would drive around the country and go see things. And we always made pilgrimages to little churches. Went to Mass every Sunday of my whole life. And it was often at some church that obviously I'd never been to that was great to visit. It might be for you some books that over the course of the year you want to read, or some articles, or you want to watch some religious programming or movies or something. Have some yearly goals for you and your family that fit. So we got our daily goal of prayer, our weekly goal of Mass, a monthly goal of confession, and other yearly goals. These are kind of our spiritual training program to be a champion in the spiritual life. One thing that I think I never find in Olympic athletes, nor really in any of the sports I've ever played, is an athlete that just doesn't care. That just kind of goes through the motions and is just settling for being mediocre. I can't, even the person that comes in like last in one of those events in the Olympics is giving it all they got. They've got passion. I think that's what I love most about the Olympic athletes. They are 100% committed, filled with passion, and all that for just an earthly goal. We've got to be at least as passionate. And that's what Jesus means in our gospel today when he says, "I have come to set the world on fire." Not mediocrity, not, "Oh, I'm basically a good Catholic. I'm kind of getting through." And no, he says, "Be on fire. I want the world on fire. And I wish it were already burning." We've got to feel that desire in Jesus' heart. He's got passion for you, for your salvation, for your conversion. And he wants it now. Now, the good news is that these athletes that are doing the triple flip with the back hamstring with the little flip, well, they didn't start doing that. I love a little video I saw on the internet where little girl gymnasts are like running like the big gymnasts and they're ready to go and they just fall on their face. They jump to grab the little bar and they just crash. I like that, okay, because that would be me. And quite frankly, that's us a lot. But we got to start. We got to start somewhere. I love this idea of persevere in running the race. It makes it sound to me like life is not a sprint. It's more like a distance event, even like a marathon. I know if I were to attempt to run a marathon today, I could probably run about over to Chris's Cafe and have breakfast. And that would be about it. Okay. But I am told that if you want to run a marathon, there is a way you can do it. That you start little by little, you run like 100 yards today, and then this and that, and eventually you do it. We can do it. It's the same in the spiritual life. We build up good habits of virtue. It gets easier and easier. That's why the gymnasts, when they're flipping all over the place, they're like, "Well, of course, that's what I do." You know, it's like they practice. They can't not do it right. That's what Jesus wants for us, to be on fire, to be passionate, and to start today little by little. The good news is, like these athletes, We too are not alone. The reading today says we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. It's like we're going into the Olympic Park and the stands are full. You think you're alone fighting that battle, trying to overcome sin? You're not alone. We've got the angels and the saints that are watching all around us, and they're cheering. They're saying, go, you can do it. So we gotta learn to tune out those negative voices that drag everybody down, that say, oh, you can't do that. What are you to try to get holy now? Because believe me, as soon as you start to take one step, it's going to be your family members, it's going to be your friends saying, whoa, who are you getting all holy now? Going to Mass every Sunday? Whoa, what happened to you? Or you're going to Mass during the week. You're crazy. What's this prayer thing you're doing now? It's the way it works. Jeremiah, he tried to be a good prophet of God. They threw him in a cistern. Jesus says, be on fire so much that your family members think you're crazy. That's what all this division he's talking about in the scriptures about. You love God so much that your family members look at you like, well, what happened? And it could create division. But this is a good kind of division. Rather than tearing everybody down, be that person that's willing to go out and say, you know what, I'm going to do it. I'm going to be great. Build everybody else up. If we do that, we will set the world on fire. So brothers and sisters, I hope we enjoy this last week of the Olympics. I know I will. We moved from swimming to running in circles and things, and somehow that's really amazing to watch people run in circles. It is. They're impressive. But as we do that, I encourage you to maybe watch it with a spiritual insight now. Look at what those runners are doing. Look at what they're doing it for. Just a worldly kind of thing. But look at the crowd. Look at how we're watching. Look at all the spectators. The spiritual competition is no less exciting. In fact, it's even more exciting because it lasts forever. So be inspired. Yeah, look at the flipping and the running and the hurdling and the jumping. It's amazing what the human body can do. But it's even more amazing the reward that God has for us if we will just start. So today is the beginning of our race, our marathon. I encourage you to get up, be on fire, and go for gold. There's a little sign above the Notre Dame football locker room that says, play like a champion today. And they all hit that sign as they run out of the locker room and ready to go, and they're excited. Well, it's our turn to get out and go, and maybe I should put a little sign above the door as we go out, pray like a champion today. And we can go out of here high-fiving each other, yeah, we're ready to go. Maybe not quite that, it might be a little weird. But at least when we go out of here, let's realize we got something to compete for, and it's great. And if we do it, there is no way we can lose. At the end of life, we will be on the medal stand with Jesus himself putting the gold medal around our neck. Say, now, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter the joy of your master. If we all do that, we will indeed set the world on fire.